Welcome to the Soul Lounge. The Soul Lounge is now open, and here's your host, the Lady DJ.
Well, yes, indeed. Welcome once again to the Soul Lounge, as always. Very excited to see you in the place. And as always, I've got some of your favorite R&B soul, neo soul, and a bit of hip hop for you. Today, I've got new music from Jill Scott. Have you heard it? If not, well, you're lucky. You're in the right place. Also, I'm going to introduce you to a group of Afro-Parisian, well, actually a couple of Afro-Parisian sisters that have this really interesting way of combining traditional Cuban music with hip-hop and R&B. It's unlike anything I've heard before. They've been on repeat in my house, and I guarantee you once you hear this cut I'm going to play for you later, they will be on repeat in your house as well. So, did you hear the rumor? We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Marsha Ambrosius said that she was almost sure that Flowetry was going to get back together. Well, if you've been on Facebook or any of the music blogs, you saw the little online poster announcing that indeed they will be out touring together, and we are super excited. So why don't we kick things off with Flowetry? This is their very first international single. It's Flowetic inside the Soul Lounge.
It's flowetic. Yeah. We're all right. I'm the ghost and I'm all right. She's the songstress and she's all right. What? Letting them know. Yo, I say what's up. What's up with you? You feeling good? We feel it too. We're gonna mess now. Sit with this groove. I step on one, you step on two. Now when we move, we're feeling the vibe, right? Said if we move, we're making a vibe, right? And if it's day or if it is night, we're feeling alright. Say we be alright, alright.
Oh, what? You let your body move. Feeling it inside you.
Inside you.
Let your body move.
One more time, say you.
Let your body move. I'm feeling it inside you.
You know exactly what is happening. I see you nodding your head like it's a Q-tip flip. Yo, you haven't heard a word about the Flowetry shit. Flowicism, Flowetry, it's Flowetic. Once you have heard it, you'll have to get it. So you can sing it, or you could play it. You could play it, yeah, you could play it.
You let your body move, feel it inside you.
We be getting it in. That's what's up. So we be getting it in. So we be getting it in.
music is the language of the soul.
All day, all day. How long you bob, all day. How much time you spent at the mall? All day. How many runners do you got on call? All day. Swiss. How long they keep you in call? All day. Take you to get this fly? All day. Tell your P.O. how long you been high? All day. Already know I'm straight from the shop. All day. Top. All day. This ain't it. Shopping for the winner and it's just made. Ball so hard, man, it's just crazy. Nigga, you ain't getting money unless you got 8 figures. Brother Jesus, peace, man, I've been saying it. Just talked to Fair Con, that sensei, nigga. Told him I've been on 10 since the 10th grade, nigga. Got a middle finger longer than the Ken, baby, nigga. I don't let them play with me. I don't let them talk to me no kind of way. They better watch what they say to me. Still getting popped on the day to day. Yeah, I still got the 100 with the small face, nigga. Might spend 50 racks in my off day, nigga. You a fake DNC like the all say, nigga. If you're running to me, better have off say with you. You a Rick Suave, nigga. Ride around, listen to Sade, nigga. If you ain't with us, you an our way, nigga. You a actor, you should be on Broadway, nigga. Cause you do the Broadway, nigga. You got it, but my Broadway thicker. Late for the class in the hallway, nigga. Get a dropout at it as always. As always. All day. How long you ball? All day. How much time you spent at the mall? All day. How long it take you to get the fly? All day. Take a P.O. How long you been high? All day. Post some Henno for my that died. All day. And I keep a bad bitch on the passenger side. All day. Now already know I'm straight from the shop. All day. Stop. All day. I can do this all day, boy. Woo. I'm finna turn this bitch out. Any day, yay, in the streets, boy. It been a draft. Don't really matter what I made, boy. Woo. You know I still go wild. Like a light-skinned slave, boy. Woo. We in the motherfucking house. Right now, looking real sus right now. I swear I've been on the flight. Like, I'm off right now. Super getting money for a stump right now. Shout out to Jackie Chan, I need to stunt right now. They be looking at the gram, I be looking at the Grammys like, that's us right now. Right now, 24/7, 365 days, everybody getting paid. Go crazy. Looking at me like I'm worth both of them J's. People saying, yeah, take it easy. 20 G's for the Yeezys off of eBay. Do the most and they ain't done. Only way I can sum it up, something. All day.
I took a young sweet breath and I reached into my earth. Gave him what I had left. At that moment, I dispersed.
Till up.
Game undone. You've been right in my face. Let me run till you off my case.
That is the latest from Kanye West. The song is called All Day inside the Soul Lounge from his forthcoming album, So Help Me God. Now, if you're thinking that sounds familiar, it's probably because you saw him perform it during the Brit Awards. In fact, that performance is going to be the official video for that song. He said the Brits really captured the energy that he believed that song inspires, and so he just wanted to make that one performance the video. So you'll be able to see that online very soon. In fact, I'll put it up on my Facebook page. Have you gone to my Facebook page yet? Facebook.com/VOA Lady DJ and the number one. Lots of music videos there, news stories, and I read all of your comments, and when I can get your requests, I do that as well. So, Robin Thicke, well, he begged, he pleaded, he sang, he cried, he wrote an album, trying to get his wife Paula Patton back. We all kind of thought perhaps maybe she'd just take some time to think, get over it, and they get back together. But alas, it is official. On April 14th, they will be divorced. Paula was granted her petition for divorce. So I guess both of them now can move on. There may be some happy ladies, certainly some happy gentlemen, the news. But I thought, you know, I never like to see a relationship go bust. So anyway, in honor of them and all that he did to try to get her back, here's Robin Thicke inside the Soul Lounge.
Keep it light.
All I want to do
is make it right.
All I want to do
is give you that thing, play you that song you and your girlfriend sing. Let's get you back tonight. I gotta get her back. I gotta get her back. I gotta treat her right, whoa, I gotta cherish her for life. I gotta get her tonight. I never should have raised my voice or made you feel so small. I never should have asked you to do anything at all. I should have kissed you longer, I should have held you stronger, and I'll wait for forever for you to love me again.
All I want to do
is keep it light.
Satisfied. All I want to do
is make it right.
All I want to do
is give you that thing, play you that song you and your girlfriend sing. Let's get you back tonight. I gotta get her back. I gotta get her back. I gotta treat her right, oh, I gotta cherish her for life. I gotta get her tonight. Oh, it's so hard,
it's so hard.
Oh, it's so hard,
oh, it's so hard.
But it doesn't have to be,
'cause all I wanna do
is keep it light all night.
Satisfied. All I want to do
is make it right.
All I want to do
is give you that thing, play you that song you and your girlfriend sing. Let's get you back tonight. I gotta get her back. I gotta get her back. I gotta treat her right, whoa, I gotta cherish her for life. I gotta get her tonight.
All I wanna do
is keep it light.
Satisfied. All I wanna do
is make it right.
All I wanna do
is give you that thing, play you that song you and your girlfriend sing. Let's get you back tonight. I gotta get her back. I gotta get her back. I gotta treat her right, whoa, I gotta cherish her for life. I gotta get her tonight.
inside the Soul Lounge.
Ibeyi is the name of the duo. Two sisters born in Cuba, raised in Paris. They have a phenomenal sound, which is a combination of Afro-Cuban rhythms, jazz, and soul. Their father, Anga Diaz, was part of the legendary Buena Vista Social Club. So that music, that rhythm, that soul, that is in their blood. They sing both in English and Yoruba, so you can hear both of those in that song. It's called River inside the Soul Lounge. I guarantee if you do some more research, you will fall in love with those two. All right, well, we're going to end the first half of the show with new music from Rihanna. Now, I'm not sure whether or not this is actually going to appear on her album. The album, she says, is coming out and is going to be legendary and full of songs that she guarantees she'll be able to sing 15 years from now, unlike anything we've ever heard. This is what Rihanna's telling us, and yes, we're looking forward to it. But this song is actually that we're going to hear from the upcoming DreamWorks film Home. It's an animated film. It's on the soundtrack. Rihanna actually is in the movie as well. I thought it'd be kind of fun to check it out. This is called Toward the Sun. It's Rihanna inside the Soul Lounge.
Turn your face towards the sun. Let the shadows fall behind you.
Welcome back to the Soul Lounge. The Lady DJ here in the VIP room with one of the most incredible voices that you may or may not have ever heard. She is a Grammy-nominated vocalist. Stevie Wonder called her incredible. Essence Magazine, one to watch. and Billboard Magazine, The Next Big Thing. Wayna is inside the VIP lounge. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Shauna.
Good.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Oh, it's so great to be here.
I know we kind of had to hurry up and get you in because you've got a really big development. We're going to talk, right? We're going to talk about that a little later. But you're glowing. I know that's so cliche, but you're beautiful and you're glowing.
Thank you. Thank you.
How are
My
you
feet
feeling?
Are glowing too.
Are they glowing?
They're expanding.
No, I absolutely understand. I've been there. So, also congratulations on the most recent project,
Expats. Thank you. Yeah, I'm so excited to share it with the world. It's been a labor of love for the past 2 years. So, feels so good that the first baby came out. Now this baby is coming.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about the first baby because the first baby earned you a Grammy nomination.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But this baby looks a little different sounds a little different from the first one. It took you a couple of years. But why don't you kind of give us a sense of what this project is about? Because I know it's very personal for you.
Yeah, it's definitely more personal because it's more authentic. It's more a reflection of all of who I am. And that was really my goal when I started. I knew that in order to be great, I needed to be two things. I needed to be honest and I needed to be unique. And for me, being unique and honest meant incorporating all the parts of myself that I hadn't yet incorporated in my music. And I really asked myself a very difficult question. I said, what is the story that only you can tell? Because this is a hard business. I mean, it takes a lot to sort of make it. And, you know, and if I'm asking the universe to bless me and give me a platform, it better be worth something. It better be meaningful. So why do I deserve that platform? There must be something about my story that people need to hear. And if I'm not telling the whole story, then what's the point? So really, I just dug into everything. I dug into my childhood, my cultural background, the influences that I had growing up in a suburban community, all of those things. I put it in the music and I said, let's just be completely transparent and open. And if I'm meant to have an audience, a large audience, a platform, then I'll have it.
So let's talk about your background a little bit because it's very interesting. You were born in Ethiopia.
Right.
And then at what point did you move here to the States?
I came when I was a toddler, when I was 3. And we moved to the suburbs of D.C. in Bethesda, Maryland. And I grew up in Rockville and just always was surrounded by Ethiopian music and like alternative music like The Police and Sade and, you know, U2. Those were my favorite bands growing up. And then when I went off to school, I went to school at University of North Carolina, and I got exposed to gospel music, really, for the first time. And I could not believe the power and the passion and the honesty in the music, and it just swept me off my feet, really. And the way these musicians would play from the heart and spontaneously, and some of them had never been trained, and it was just this brilliant, amazing sounds. And it just made me discover a whole nother side of music, the spiritual side of music, how music can just move people, change people, you know, evoke things in people. So I wanted to harness that. I wanted to feel that. I wanted to be part of that, a vessel of that. And then I started studying, you know, like the gospel singers that we were learning at that time, the Clark sisters, Donnie McClurkin, Kirk Franklin, all the modern folks, and then Mahalia, all the old-time folks. And then when I really got into soul music, I found sort of the blending of the storytelling, the modern-day storytelling, fused with the emotion and the passion of the gospel music. So it was Donny Hathaway, Minnie Riperton, Stevie Wonder, of course. Those were the artists that just compelled me. And for a few years, that's where I was completely wrapped up in. I just wanted to understand that genre and be one of those artists. And then later, as I matured, I realized there were other parts of that dynamic that I wanted to include. The folk music that I love, Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, because I was a English major. I studied writing, and I was really into telling like stories, and I wanted the music to be really content driven, message driven, and conscious music. So I wanted to incorporate those things that I was exploring as just a young intellectual also into the music. Mm-hmm. So And then later, you know, when I really came to terms with my Ethiopian-ness and really kind of reintegrated that into my psyche, and then my husband is West Indian, so I just, a whole nother part of the world became opened up to me, and a lot of my friends from school are from other parts of Africa, so I just started to understand myself as a global citizen. And all of these things just, you know, influenced me, and what I felt on with this project was that I needed to give each of them a place, a voice, a representation, and that would be a more authentic representation of who I am.
And I like the way that you've been able to meld them together, because as you were talking and I'm hearing you going through your own experiences, the traditional Ethiopian music into the gospel, into the soul, mm-hmm. in American music, everything is so fragmented.
Yeah.
And you just can't hear, you don't hear gospel mixed with folk, even right. though it kind of all just sort of grows from the same roots.
It's completely from the same root. And I saw it really when I went to Ethiopia for the first time. I went to this festival in the rural area called the Festival of a Thousand Lights. It's in this area called Arba Minch. And there were all these indigenous bands, I guess you could call them, but they were just villagers who would make music to just occupy their day. And they had their own instruments, their own dialects, their own costumes. And when I saw them perform, the complexity of what they were doing, the sophistication of it, I just imagined if they took that hand-woven instrument and replaced it with a clarinet or, you know, or a saxophone, it would sound like Coltrane. You know, it had the same sort of sophistication and the different rhythms. And I mean, it sounded like jazz. Mm. And it was just amazing to me that, you know, that I had to go all the way to Ethiopia and see how the music that I was studying was really rooted in who I am already. You know, I wasn't an outsider doing that music. And by the same token, any non-American who listens to world music is not an outsider. I mean, the root of all music is African, and there are so many connections. You know, there's so many connections that make us all, you know, similar and understanding of each other if we really just open our ears.
Mm-hmm. And that's such an interesting understanding that you have of it, and that you were so immersed in it, because out of college, do I understand this correctly, you didn't go right into music. You actually right. were working for the White House?
Yeah, yeah. I studied English and speech communication. And, you know, coming from an Ethiopian background, there's not really a lot of emphasis on art. You know, people want you to just get like a regular job. So I felt compelled to become a professional. And I just happened to take a speech writing class my final semester. And we went to go meet the president's speech writers. And the person speaking to us was a man named Terry Edmonds, who's the first African-American to ever serve as a presidential speech writer. And he just blew me away. And I thought, you know what, I could do this. This is something that I could do that wouldn't completely bore me to death. So I did it. I really enjoyed it. It was really challenging. It was really inspiring. I loved the brilliant people I was working around, but it wasn't the true fulfillment of what I had inside. It was like just a suit I was wearing, and I could do it, but it wasn't the best of what I had to give the world. And so I found myself sneaking out on my lunch breaks to go see Angie Stone when she was doing a listening session at Kent Mill, or Marcus Johnson, or Indiari. And then I would do my, you know, cover gigs in Georgetown every Friday night. And it was just not, you know, I just got to a point where I really felt like I was like two people in one. So I just said, you know what, I have to just really step out on a limb and follow my passion. And what I found was that my fear about doing an unconventional job or not being respected as a, you know, writer or a, you know, whatever sophisticated, you know, thing my family was proud of me for having become was completely unfounded, because most of the people around me, in fact, all of the people around me, seemed to have their own private dreams and aspirations that they had put to the back burner to do the conventional thing or the respectable thing or the responsible thing. And when they saw me doing what I did, they were so encouraged and inspired, and they almost lived vicariously through me. And some of my close friends even quit jobs and started other careers. You know, I had a friend who was a lawyer who quit her job and started, you know, becoming a, you know, like a PR person, which was always her dream, or launching her magazine. And this was, you know, this is the truth of our lives. I mean, we're, you know, we're given, and this is one of the perspectives that I feel like I'm blessed to have as an immigrant, because I saw how hard my mom had it, you know. And growing up, I always, you know, realized that it's not, you know, what is the point of her suffering? I mean, the point of her suffering is that I have a stable and fulfilled life. It's both. It's not just having a good car and a nice house. And why? I mean, it's all of it. You know, it's abundance. And if you can believe in that, then you can have it all. You know, I really do believe that. Mm. And I think that's why I've stuck with it, even though it's been quite an arduous journey. It's been so rewarding because it's what I'm supposed to do. And every day I'm willing to do all the hard stuff that goes along with doing it, because the high that I get from sharing these stories, these songs, or those moments on stage when you just feel like you're just buzzing because it's what you're supposed to be doing, that's worth everything. And I just think, you know, the more we allow into our lives, the more will come. So I'm believing that this year will be even bigger and better.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you shared that, because I know that there are people right now thinking the same thing. This is not what I'm supposed to be doing. I have a bigger dream. And it takes someone to just say, have the courage to do it. It's scary.
Yes.
It's hard.
It is.
But you've got to have the courage to do it. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And I imagine that those experiences also work their way into your work, because you write your songs.
I do.
So talk to me about that process, specifically the vulnerability that is necessary to be a songwriter. I'm always amazed at how songwriters can be so naked or vulnerable to the world, you know?
Well, it's cathartic. I mean, you hear that 100 times over, that it's healing, but it is really. And it's best when you're not really thinking about it on any level. I mean, I think one of the most personal songs I ever wrote is on my first album, Moments of Clarity. It's called Moments, Mama's Sacrifice. And it's about my mom's story of just raising me as a single parent. And, you know, when I first started writing it, I didn't even know it was about her. The lyrics were, you know, she was beautiful, but no less practical than any other woman, wanting love and stability. When she chose her mate, she kept in mind what it would take to care for her and provide for the family. You know, he was tall, dark, and handsome. You know, this the story, like, I just saw it as another woman. And then by the time I got to the hook, I realized, oh, this is my mom, you know? And it's really nice when you can take yourself out of it, and then you feel like, you know, the spirit moving through you and giving you a gift as much as, you know, the listener. And I think that's when it's the best, when you can remove your ego out of it, because then really, you know, all of us are just vessels. I mean, we're just allowing something bigger and better to come through us. And the more we're able to do that, the better it is. So, you know, when it's a surprise to even you, that's when it's so sweet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would love to hear some of it. Thank you for sharing those lyrics. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to put the guitar together with some of the lyrics that you've written, and just to hear a song. So would you be kind enough to perform for us?
I would love to. I'd be happy to.
So what are you going to do for us first?
We're going to do I Don't Want to Wait, which is the first single from the new album, The Expats.
Awesome. Thank you.
Protect itself. gentle breeze, a breeze. Fate can only be delayed, so I even make a wish.
Welcome back to the Soul Lounge. We are in the VIP room with Wayna. I'm the lady DJ, just sang a beautiful song. Can you please introduce your accompanist?
Yes, please. I'm so proud to introduce Chris Rouse, who is a native of Toronto and one of the producers on the album, and played keys and produced the vocals with me on the album. And he's just a gem, and we've been performing together since the album launched, and I just have such a great time playing with him. He's an incredible talent.
He is. And I understand that you brought a number of people from all over the world together for this project.
Yes. So we started just by doing a jam session in Toronto, and we collected, and when I say we, I mean my business partner, Andy Sambiello, collected a group of musicians from the area that understood international music, and they just so happen to be from all over: India, Israel, Uganda, Jamaica, Japan. It's just a few of the countries represented. The Middle East was also represented, Eritrea, Ethiopia. So really, like, all of those different backgrounds came together. But what we found was that we all had similar tastes. We all loved Bob Marley. We all loved Radiohead. We all loved Fela. And these commonalities brought us together, and enabled us to kind of seamlessly bring together these different genres.
So, like, how does that work when you're in a jam session? Do you all just get together? Everyone picks up their instruments. Somebody goes 5, 6, 7, 8.
Right? Just boom. It's like the musical. Go. Do you want to answer that? How do you think?
After you, I think you got it.
I mean, I think it was very spontaneous, but yeah. it usually started with just somebody playing a lick that kind of caught someone's ear, mm-hmm. and then everyone else would just feed off of it. And sometimes we would come up with, like, you know, several grooves. Like, maybe in one session we would have, like, 15 or 20 grooves. But then out of that we would pick, like, 2 or 3 that I would take home to D.C. with me and write to.
Okay, so you recorded it, and then you went back and put the vocals down, and then out of that came back. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's incredible. I love the influence, because you can hear those various influences in each of the singles on the Expats, which was, like you say, very different from the first project. And I'd like to go back just for a moment, because that first project was it Higher Ground? That was around the time you got nominated for because the Loving You was on Higher Ground, right?
Okay. It's actually my sophomore album. My first album is Moments of Clarity.
Okay.
And then I grabbed sophomore.
All right. And so in 2009, you were nominated.
Yes.
For the Grammy categories are so different.
Yeah,
so it's like best urban alternative, I think was the category back then.
Right, yeah.
So that had to be nice.
Oh, it was incredible. It was the biggest validation that I had gotten up until then, and just gave me the steam to just keep going. It was really, really like the biggest blessing ever. And the thing about it is there were a lot of people who told me that it was completely impossible as an independent artist to get recognized. And even to this day, people assume that I was on a label and that, you know, the label had marketed me and that I had gotten a nomination. That's not the case. The Grammys has a R&B nominating committee that's specifically designed to make sure that even lesser popular artists are recognized for quality rather than popularity. So I was fortunate to be a beneficiary of that. So, it was a huge surprise, but one I had definitely prayed for and worked for.
Well, that goes back to what you were saying earlier about when you're kind of in your purpose, you're in your place, you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
It's like the universe just kind of opens up and
Absolutely.
Boom, there's a Grammy nomination.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I could not have in my own strength or wisdom orchestrated the pieces that had to come together for that to happen. It was definitely outside of my control. But all of the little things that I could do help set it in motion. But at the end of the day, it was, several other pieces that came together that made it happen.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so you are glowing because you are how far along now with child?
I am 6 and a half, almost 7 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is your second child?
My second, yes. My second daughter on the way.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Two little girls.
Yes.
Oh, how sweet. Now, I have to ask you this because I remember way back when Lauryn Hill was having a baby, and she talked about, like, the amount of creativity, like all this creative energy that just came out of her.
Yes.
And I didn't want to get out of the bed. Now, I'm not a songwriter, so maybe that's why it didn't happen for me. But I'm just curious, have you found that to be the case?
No. And it's so funny that you said that, because I was thinking that just the other day, too, while I was driving. I remember, because A Rose Is Just a Rose, Aretha Franklin came on, and I remember her saying that she had so many songs, she couldn't even sing them. She was just giving them to people. I'm like, golly, I didn't feel that. But I definitely felt just a wave of energy to, like, just to work and do as much as I could before she came, because I before she comes, because I know what it will be like once she's here. So that whole work-life balance is a constant, I know, you know, understand, as a constant thing to figure out. So I've learned that the happier I am, the more fulfilled I am, the more whole and well-rounded I am, the better mom I am, and the better role model I am for my daughter to give herself that same freedom. So, you know, I wrestle with balancing it all and managing to be creative, and also, you know, being a mom is a very practical venture too. You have to really think about things you never, you know, as an artist, you wouldn't think about. So it's definitely a juggling act, but it has fed my artistry very much in other ways. Maybe not while the baby's inside, but, you know, in so many other ways, it's inspired me to be better and more whole. and more honest.
Yeah, that's important. That's important. All right, so I have a few questions that I ask everyone. So I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
This is called What's in Your Ear? So I'm just kind of interested, like, what's in your iPod or on your phone or however you listen to your music. So the first question I have is, what are you dancing to? So you're in the kitchen washing dishes. The radio's up. What are you dancing around to?
Okay, so my favorite music to, like, work out or dance to would be Rihanna. So it's not
okay.
That alternative
I'm
and
with
chic.
You. Okay.
I love Rihanna's music, so I work out to her all the time. She's
okay.
Great.
All right. What are you loving to? The romantic evenings that you and your husband enjoy. What's on?
You know, let's see. Lately, we've been just listening to, like, just jazz. Like, I have an old Miles Davis record. I don't even know which one it is. I think I bootlegged it, actually. That's why I don't have the name of it. But we like to, our lives are so hectic with a toddler. So when we have downtime, it's just, like, nice instrumentals that just, you know, are speaking to you, but they're not speaking to you.
Mm.
So I think, like, jazz is our favorite. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Awesome. What lifts your spirits? Who lifts your spirit on those days when you're just not feeling it?
An artist
or a genre, a specific song?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I have to say, like, when I really need a pick me up, I don't so much go to music. And the irony is that, and lately, because I've been working so much, that it's like the music makes me think, right? So, I tend to, like, listen to an audiobook or a speaker. So those are the things that really feed me. So I've become a recent junkie of the TED Talks app. So I just watch that, like, when I feel like I need a little stimulation or a little inspiration. It always gets me going when I see these dynamic, amazing people and they're sharing these really powerful ideas. And I almost always relate to all of them, even though, you know, they're on so many different subjects. So that's been my thing lately. Like, I wash the dishes to the TED Talks and I just set up the TV in our kitchen so that I can put my little Netflix on and, you know, watch it. And it just, I don't know, it inspires me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you inspire me and I could literally sit here and talk to you for hours.
Oh,
but alas, we both have things to do. So if you don't mind, would you take us out with another song?
I'd love to. This is called Send It Away. And just as to preface it a little bit, it's about the idea of letting go of those things in our life that don't fit us. And sometimes as women, especially, we have a tendency when things come into our life that aren't right for us, we try to contort ourselves to, you know, fit it or make it fit into our lives, when what we should do is just easily send it away, the same way that we would send away a letter that came to us that was addressed to the wrong person, or a meal that was brought to us by a waiter that isn't what we ordered. If we could just easily send those things away, just skip that whole process and just get to the stuff of just letting it go, you know, how much easier and carefree would our lives be?
Indeed.
Mm.